Thank you, worship team. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody. Welcome to our service. We're glad that you're worshiping with us. If you're here for the first time, if you're a guest checking us out, we're especially glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. Welcome to our service. There is a connection card in the pocket in the seat in front of you. If you want to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate when it goes by a little bit later, we'd love to just connect a name with the face. And you can also, if you're a regular around here, you can always use that card for any kind of communications you need to have or certainly prayer requests, things that you're going on. If you want our staff to pray for you each Tuesday in our staff meeting, we would love to have that honor. So use that as you need it. Next week, we are starting a brand new series. I want to invite you to make sure you're here when you're in town. I know summer's coming up and school's out now, so we're going to be traveling and we'll be going to one service in a couple of weeks. But when you're in town, make sure you're here. When you're not, check it out online. I think we'll be spending 4 weeks in it looking at some of the wisdom that Solomon gives to us. And we're going to focus on a single question throughout the series that if we will ask this question as we navigate life and all of the invitations and opportunities and decisions and all of that we need to make, if we will ask this question, it can make a huge difference in our life. And I would say this too, I intentionally waited till this time of the year because I knew our college students would be in town. So if you're a college student, make sure you're here. If you're a parent and still have influence over a college student, make sure they're here. Your high school students, definitely get them here. I know they serve in kids ministry a lot. Plug it in on your way to vacation if you miss a service. I'm sure your family will love listening to that while they're riding 8 hours down to Myrtle Beach or wherever you're going, and you can blame it all on me. So there you go. How's that for a plug? But we are glad you're here. Happy Father's Day to the fathers in the room. And let's go to God in prayer real quick. God, we just thank you for this day to just worship you and focus on who you are in our lives. And God, we thank you for a day where we can just set it aside and just celebrate the fathers in our lives, whether they're our biological fathers or whether they're just men who have just stood in the gap and been there in our lives in significant ways along the way where they've modeled for us and they've encouraged us and supported us. And so we just thank you for putting those men in our lives. And then, God, we just pray for the ones where Father's Day is just a difficult day, either because their relationship with their dad is not what they want it to be, or maybe their father's no longer with them. And so I just lift them up to you and just pray that you just give them just an extra measure of your presence and your mercy and your grace this weekend. And then, God, as we think about fathers and as we think about kids and families, I just want to pray for the families on our southern border that have been separated over the last several weeks, that those that are going to be separated over the next several weeks. I just pray for the parents that are just going through really unimaginable of not knowing where your kids are and if they're okay, and not knowing if maybe you'll even ever see them again. So I just pray that you just surround them with your presence, whether they know you or not, whether they claim you as Lord or not, that they would feel your presence. And then, God, I pray for the children there, and I pray again that you just surround them with your protection, and you would protect them not only physically, but certainly emotionally and even spiritually. And then, God, if there are followers of yours there in that area, churches and leaders serving in that situation, I just pray that you would give them all the grace and all the energy that they need to do that and to do it well. And then, God, I pray for our national leaders who have to navigate this complex issue. And I just pray that you would give them the wisdom they need to do that. I also pray that you would give them the compassion they need to do that and to do it well. And now, God, I pray that each one of us, wherever we find ourselves, that we would be your representatives in our world, in our communities, and in our culture. Now, God, open our hearts to what you want us to know, but more importantly, what you want us to do with what we know. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes. Today, like I said, we're starting a new series next week, but today I want to talk to you about a subject that I talk about a lot. In fact, some of you probably get tired of me talking about this. It's something we come back to in terms of sermons at least once a year. We probably come back to it multiple times a year in different ways through small groups and other ways. But the subject I want us to look at today is the subject of margin. Margin, and my favorite definition of margin is one that I actually learned from another pastor years ago at a conference for pastors. He was speaking to pastors about this subject and the need for margin in our lives, because you may not be aware of this, but pastors are notorious for not having margin in their lives. A lot of pastors misspend their lives. They misspend their time. A lot of them neglect their families. A lot of them become workaholics, and they do it all in the name of serving in ministry. And so this is an area I'm so thankful where I learned how to do this and how to put margin in my life. So this is certainly an area where I am practicing what I preach today. Sometimes, like I said, I'm just 1 week ahead of you. If I can stay 1 week ahead of you, I think that's good. But I've practiced this for a lot and through the years. So my favorite definition of margin, you've heard this before if you've been around, is this. It's margin is the space between our current pace and our limits. Margin is the space between our current pace, how we're living our lives, how fastly we're moving, the things that are in our schedule, how we're doing with our finances, how well we're relating in our relationships. It's the space between our current pace and our limits, because in all of those things, our finances, our relationships, our work, our schedules, all of that, we all have limits, don't we? The answer is yes. And when there's not space between our pace and our limits, then there's no margin. And life really is better with margin, because when there's no margin, the stress goes up. And when there's no margin, there's more anxiety in our life. And when there's no margin, our focus begins to narrow, and we can only focus on a couple of things, and a lot of times we can't focus on the most important things. And ultimately, when we don't have margin in our lives, our relationships suffer. And the great thing about Scripture is God addresses this idea of margin, because when God was building the nation of Israel, remember when they left Egypt, Moses led them out of Egypt out of years and years and years of slavery. Every generation there had experienced slavery. God began to develop the nation of Israel, and he gave them some rules to live by. And he gave them some rules to live by, because up until then, the only rules they knew were slave rules, which is basically 24/7 work, right? And that's what they knew. And so when God was establishing the nation of Israel, he built into that culture, he built into their community this idea of margin, the law of margin. In fact, he put it in his top 10. It's in the 10 commandments, and he basically commanded them to take one day off a week. Now, you got to love a God that tells you got to take a day off every week, right? And from the very beginning, God says, he says, I've created you to function best when there's space in your life, when there's margin in your life. So today, I want to talk specifically about our time and our schedules, because there's so many things we could talk about when we talk about the subject of margin, and we've done entire series on it. But today, I want to specifically talk about our time and our schedules. And it's Father's Day, so I think it's really, really timely that we're talking about this, because here's the deal. My inclination and your inclination is to cram everything in and to take nothing out. That's our inclination, right? My inclination, your inclination, is to do so much that much of the time we don't even enjoy what we're doing anymore. So today we're going to talk about how do we deal with that? And if this is not an issue for you, how do you keep that from becoming an issue for you? And you've heard me say this many, many times as we talk about time. Your time is your life. That as your time goes, so goes your life. Your time is the one thing you cannot get back, and it's the one thing you can't get more of. And so we're gonna look at some wisdom that is given to us by Moses, but it's way over in Psalms chapter 90. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, didn't David write all the Psalms? David wrote most of the Psalms. He didn't write all of the Psalms. And Psalm 90 was actually a psalm that was written by Moses. And let me tell you why I think we should pay attention to what Moses says when he talks about time. Because Moses lived to be 120 years old, okay? So he had some time on his hands, and he had some of the most incredible experiences in his life, from being living in Pharaoh's palace as the prince of Egypt to leading the children of Israel out and of slavery to delivering the writing the Ten Commandments. Moses is the only person in the Bible that we're told got to talk face to face with God. So he just had some incredible experiences. So Moses has some good perspective on time. And in Psalm 90, he gives us that perspective. He gives us that wisdom. And the wisdom that he gives us, if we will apply it, it has the potential for changing our lives. So let me read it to you. It's a little bit of a long passage. It's also kind of a tricky passage in terms of translating into English and all that, because it's an ancient, ancient text. And so we'll just unpack it a little bit as we go through this. So here it is. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He's saying, Lord, throughout the generations, we've lived within the context of who you are. And he continues, he said, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So Moses says, God, you are everlasting to everlasting. And somewhere in the middle of everlasting to everlasting is me, Moses. And somewhere in the middle of everlasting to everlasting is us, the nation of Israel. And then he makes this really, really cool statement. I love this statement. He says, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. Now, isn't that just the greatest Gandalf statement in the entire Bible, right? Return to dust. You shall not pass, right? Return to dust, you mortals. This was Moses' way of saying, our lives, as much as we don't like to think about it, and as much as we don't like to admit it, have an expiration date. And that our lives are limited. Our time is limited and our days are numbered. And Moses continues. He says, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. And a watch in the night was about 3 hours. In other words, he's saying what seems like a long time to us, our lifetime, in the scheme of things, everlasting to everlasting, to God, 1,000 years is just like 3 hours. And then he says this, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like, and now he's talking about you and he's talking about me. They are like the new grass of the morning. So he's saying they're like the little baby that's born. They have their whole life ahead of them. He says they are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. And he says, God, I guess from your perspective, what we think are long, long lives, long, long years, our entire lives that we get so excited about, I guess from your perspective, God, it's kind of like grass that pops up in the morning and then is gone by the late afternoon. I mean, isn't this exciting? I mean, aren't you motivated now? Are you glad? Are you saying, man, I'm so glad I came to church this morning, right? He goes on, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them, talking about the best of our years, the best of our years are but trouble and sorrow, for they, talking about the years, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And if you remember that old school church hymn that we used to sing, I'll Fly Away, that passage is where that great old hymn comes from. So here's the point Moses is making. He says that time and life passes quickly. And he continues, and this next verse is a really, really kind of confusing verse when you look at it in the English. I'm going to read it, and then I'll just give you my explanation for it. He says, if only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Now, that just seems like a really badly constructed sentence, right, with a few words missing or something. I don't know. But this is a really difficult verse in the Hebrew to translate into English. In fact, if you look it up in some other translations, they all kind of translate it a little bit differently. I think this is about as good as it gets. So let me tell you what I think it means rather than what it actually, exactly what it says. Here's just one idea of what this verse might mean. I'll put it on the screen for you. It basically means this. If we could see God as he is, we would give him the reverence he is due. If we could see God as he is, then we would give him the reverence he is due. Here's what Moses is saying. He's saying, God, you are everlasting to everlasting. And I'm like a piece of grass. I'm here today, I'm gone tomorrow. My life is going by so fast, but if I think it's going by so fast, my life is really only a fraction of a second to you, because to you, 3 hours is like 1,000 years. So Moses kind of pauses here and he says, if we could somehow see God as he is and for who he is, then when it comes to our time and when it comes to our lives, we would give him the reverence he is due, because I only have a tiny, tiny slice of time to do something with. And wouldn't the right thing to do be somehow in my small, small amount of time to somehow give God the glory that is due to him? And here's another way we can read this. If we could see God as he is, we would be more careful with the time that we've been given. So now Moses, in the passage, now Moses comes kind of to the application part of it. And he says, here's what he says. He says, teach us, because we don't do this naturally, teach us to number our days. Another way of saying this would be, teach us to live as if our days are numbered. But we don't do that, do we? We don't live as if our days are numbered. We live as if we're always going to be here, don't we? And we live as if we're always going to have the people in our lives. We live as if we're always going to have this job. We live as if, you know, we're always going to have time to chase that dream. But we live as if our days are not numbered. But Moses says, no, you need to learn to number your days, which means to live as if your days are numbered. And actually, we've all done this. We just don't realize we have. For example, if you've been married, especially if you're a woman, when you planned your wedding, you numbered your days, didn't you? When you numbered your days from the day that you said, I will marry you, to the day that you said, I do, you numbered your days and you began to figure out everything you needed to do between those 2 days until your wedding date, right? If you've ever had to make a presentation at work or a project that was due, you numbered your days. If you're a student and you had an exam coming up or a project coming up, you began to number your days because you knew there was going to become a time when your days would end and it would be exam day and you had to show up ready, right? If you've ever had a baby and the day you found out you were pregnant, you began to number your days until that child was born and everything that you had to do in between there. And some of you are still angry because you got ripped off because that baby came 2 weeks early, right? If you've planned a vacation, which we're getting ready, lots of us to do, you put it on the calendar. What did you do? You numbered your days and you began to figure out, what do I have to do in order to be able to leave town for a week or so and go there and relax and not worry about everything that I didn't get done? So Moses is basically saying, what if we just lived our lives like that? He says, teach us to number our days. And then here's the promise that Moses makes us. Here's the promise that teach us to number our days that, in other words, this leads to something. There's a result here that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to live as if our days are numbered, because in living as if our days are numbered, we will gain wisdom in terms of what we should leave in, what we should take out, and what the priorities should be. But if you live as if your days are not numbered, Moses says, you will continue to fill your days with things that later on you will wish you had not filled your days with. But when you number our days, when we number our days, we immediately, he says, gain wisdom. We gain a better perspective in how to use our time. So basically, here's the summary of everything that Moses has just taught us. Remembering our time is limited provides us with the wisdom to know how to spend our limited time. Remembering that our time is limited will give us the wisdom so that we'll know how to spend that limited time. And we can actually break it down one more time and say it this way: my time is limited, so I need to limit how I spend my time. So let's talk about us. Let's talk about you and me. Let's get kind of a little bit practical. And I want to give you something today that a lot of you probably don't want. Some of you are going to be very, very uncomfortable with what I'm about to do, but I think I'm about to do you a huge favor. And I've done this before, and some of you will remember this, but when I did this before, some of you actually came up to me after the service or later in the week and said, thank you for giving us that perspective. Thank you for walking us through that and giving us something that we would not have had otherwise. So here's what I want to do. I want to fast forward you to the end of your life. Are you excited about that? Yeah, we're all great. I know everybody's wanting to walk out. But anyway, I want to fast forward you to the end of your life. And when we do that, you will gain some wisdom that if you will take this wisdom that most people don't get until they actually get to the end of their lives, if you will take this wisdom and bring it back to your current stage of your life and apply it, you will make better decisions about what you do with your time. Okay, so are you ready? So here we go. Bronnie Ware is an Australian nurse, and Bronnie spends most of her time with men and women who are in the last 3 to 12 weeks of their lives. She works in a hospice, and for many years she has spent time with people who had anywhere from 3 to 12 weeks to live. And at some point, Bronnie began to ask the patients that she worked with, she began to ask them some questions. And one of the questions she asked them was this one: do you have any regrets? And as she asked those patients that question over and over and over and over time, she began to see patterns in their answers, in their responses. And so she began to write them down. So today, to help us kind of fast forward to the end and to get a perspective that we really won't get any other way, I want to share with you the top two regrets that people have in their last few days. She actually has written about five regrets. It's fascinating reading. Just Google her name and it'll pop up and you'll be able to look at that. But I want to give you the top two, and I'm going to give you the second one first, and then we'll look at the top one. And the second one is actually the one that most of us would probably think when we see it, we would probably think it would be the first one, but it's not. So here's what they said. This was the number two regret, was this: I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I didn't work so hard. Now, we're not surprised by that, are we? I don't think any of us are surprised that that's up there. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Here's the statement that Bronnie makes about that insight. She says, this came from every male patient that I nursed. They missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Women also spoke of this regret, but as most were from an older generation, many of the female patients had not been breadwinners. All the men I nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. So there it is. You know what that means, men and women? But do you know what that means, men? It means if we don't learn, like Moses says, if we don't learn to number our days, we will misspend our time and our life. And when we get to the end of our lives, we will actually have an avoidable regret. Because when you think that you have all the time in the world with your kids and all the time in the world with your spouse, and suddenly you realize you don't have all the time in the world, you can't get that time back. And here's why this is so important, because these are men and women who are numbering their days because they cannot avoid it any longer that their days are numbered. And this is the wisdom. This is the wisdom they are suddenly confronted with. And here's the number one regret that Bronnie says. And before I show it to you, if you're a high school student, college age, 20-something, if you've tuned me out, tune back in real quick, because this is really important, and it's applicable to you if nobody else in the room. But this is so incredible. The number one regret was this: I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. I wish I had had the courage to live true to myself and not the life that other people or our culture expected of me. And here's what she said about this statement. She said, this was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honored even half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to the choices they had made or not made. And this next statement that she gives us is so powerful, I think everybody in the room should hear this. She said, health brings a freedom very few realize until it's gone. Health brings a freedom that very few of us realize we even have until we no longer have it. And I think some of us, the way we're living and the way we're eating and the way we're exercising or not exercising, I think we should write that down, take a picture of it, and should think about it. Now, you may not think so, but I think I've just done you a huge favor. Because we just fast-forwarded to the end, right? And now we have the wisdom that comes with living as if the way Moses has challenged us to live as if our days are numbered. So the question for us today is this: what are we going to do with that wisdom? What are you going to do when you look at your current schedule? What are you going to do when you look at your current pace? What are you going to do when you realize maybe there's too little space between my current pace and my limits? What do you do with that? You know, God give us the wisdom that comes with living as if our days are numbered. God, my time is limited. That means I need to limit how I spend my time. Now, I know the pushback from some of you on some of this. I get this. I'm not any different than you. I just get to sit up here and talk every week, okay? But I live where you live. I know what's going on in some of your heads right now, and it goes something like this: but David, if I don't spend as much time as I possibly can, I won't make it. I'll never make it. Make what? I don't know, but I know I'm afraid I won't make it, right? And do you know what the people that Bronnie Ware spent time would have said to you? They would have said, you better make sure you know what it is if you're going to spend the rest of your life going after it. Because you can spend your entire life trying to make it and get to the end of it and realize it was the wrong it. And let's be honest. I mean, most of us, we're just too busy to even stop and think about what it is, aren't we? But I'm telling you, you'd better know what it is if you're going to pack your life full of stuff that's going to actually get you there. Here's something else we say, another pushback would be, if I don't do as much as I possibly can, I'll fall behind. Fall behind what? Fall behind who? I don't know, but I don't want to fall behind. I don't want my kids to fall behind. I don't want us to fall behind. I want to keep up. Keep up with what? Keep up with who? I think we should know the answer to that question if we're gonna let it drive our lives and fill it with things that maybe we haven't even defined. Because the wisdom of Moses that comes from the wisdom of God is teach us to number our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And then here's the third one. If I don't do as much as I possibly can, I just won't be accepted. Accepted by who? I mean, whose acceptance are you living for? And let me just talk to the students in the room for a minute. If you're in high school or college, you're a young adult, you're in your 20s, you probably don't talk, you listen to your parents about this stuff, and they've told you this, but maybe you'll listen to me for just a second. But look, the people in your life right now that are so important to you, you're not even going to know most of them in 10 years. You're not going to know a lot of them in 5 years. And not only will you not have their cell phone numbers in 5 years, you won't even have the same cell phone. Did you know that? So in 10 years, the people that are driving you right now, how to spend your time and what you should be chasing after and going after, you're not even going to know them. And if you're not careful, they will have robbed you of what is so most important of all. And what's most important to you is your time. Now here's another pushback, and then we'll move on. If I don't do as much as I possibly can, I won't measure up. Well, measure up to what? Measure up to who? What's driving us? And is it possible that if you're not careful and if you don't think this through and answer some of these questions that you could get to the end of your life and realize that you were chasing something that you never really took the time to define what you were chasing? Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, and if you believe that there's a personal God who has a personal plan for your life, do you understand how important all of this is? Because God has something that he wants to do, and if you're not careful, you'll miss it because other people will determine what needs to be in and what needs to be out and what needs to be the priority for your life. Live as if your days are numbered because doing so, you will automatically gain insight. You will automatically gain a heart of wisdom. So I want to close this morning. I just want to give you some questions to kind of get you thinking about this. And what are some next steps for you? And how do you take what Moses is teaching us and how do you apply it to your life and actually do something with it? So four really, really simple questions. I'll put them on the screen in just a second. And let me just say, if you're married or if you're engaged in a significant relationship, you probably need to talk about this with each other. If you're a teenager or a college student, you dare talk to your parents about this, that would be great. Parents, you definitely need to be talking about this with your kids. But here's a question that I think we all need to ask and answer and talk about with people that are most important to us. And the first one is this: what do I need to add? What do I need to add to my life? What do I need to add to my schedule? What is some things that would actually make my relationships better? What are some things that would actually make my time be used better? What are some things that would actually show that the things that are really, truly most important are a priority in my life? What do I need to add? And then the second one is like it, but it's really just the opposite. What do I need to subtract? What needs to just go away completely? What is it that I'm doing? It's not necessarily bad. It's just not necessary. And it's just taking up time and space. And so I don't need to do that anymore. Or maybe what is it that I'm doing that's actually doing damage in my life in some way? And then the third one is what needs to be turned up a little bit. In other words, what am I doing right now that I should actually be doing a little bit more of it? And then the last one is what do I need to do less of? And I can't get rid of it altogether, but I'm just spending way too much time on that. You know, we as a couple or we as a family, we can't cut that out completely, but we're spending way too much time on that. You know, maybe we don't get rid of every TV in the house, but maybe we don't need a TV in every room, including the bathroom, right? I don't know. You know, or that hobby. I don't need to quit that hobby, but I'm probably engaged in it a little bit too much, and I need to cut back on that hobby just a little bit. So ask the questions. ask the question. You owe it to yourself, but more importantly, you owe it to the people who are most important to you, because one day you will come to the end. But when you get there, you don't have to have regrets related to how you spent your time. If you will simply learn the wisdom of Moses that came from the wisdom of God to number your days and to know that your time is limited. So limit how you spend your time. Let me pray for you. God, I pray that you just teach us to number our days, that we would learn to number our days, that we might gain what we do not have, that we might gain what most people never get, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And God, help us to remember that our time is limited, and that means we have to limit what we do with our time. So God, help us to ask the difficult questions, help us to have the difficult conversations, and help us to make decisions from the wisdom that comes with numbering our days, so that when we get to the end of our lives, we don't have to look back with regret. God, help us to walk into this with open hearts and open minds, and direct us where we need to go. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our song of response.